You heard the Luke passage as part of our theme song. And now listen as I read from Hebrews 10, 5 to 10. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.' First, Christ said, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses.' Then he said, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once for all time." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Steve.
We have dual themes going here today. And throughout worship, we've been daring to imagine God's song, God singing over us. And then during the message here, I'm going to be focusing more on daring to imagine God's face, which shines upon us. Because we didn't have our own worship service last week, we're going to pull both of those themes into this morning. And so this morning, I just invite you to dare with me to imagine God's face. The portrayal of God's face in Scripture is really diverse. If you think about different encounters that people had with God. And many Scriptures have this kind of a paradox, these two different... diverse perspectives or truths that they're both true. They don't contradict, but we need to hold them in tension. For example, Jesus is fully God, but yet he's fully human as well. Jesus came full of grace, but he also came full of truth. And none of these paradoxes is as pronounced, it seems, as the portrayal of God's face. Like on the one hand, if you remember Moses, he said, "God, show me your glory." And the response of the Lord to Moses was, "I'm not going to show you my face. If you would see my face, you would die. You wouldn't survive that encounter with me." But yet, if you read the passage from Psalm 80 this week, the cry of the psalmist there is, "God, come and restore us. Shine your face down upon us that we might be saved." And so, maybe the psalmist here is speaking more metaphorically. Maybe he's not calling God in his great holiness to come right in their presence. But still, there's this call, "God, shine your face on us." And in Jesus, we celebrate the fact that the very presence of God has come to us. And there's these face-to-face encounters that Jesus had with people along the way. And in a spiritual sense, we can have that kind of face-to-face encounter. So I want to reflect on encountering the face of God today. And I want to start with a song. I invited April to come and sing a song for us. And Donovan and Trisha are going to accompany. And you can kind of get set up, but I want to introduce it. This song or hymn is called "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." And I just want to make you aware of the scene that's being portrayed here. The scene here is that Jesus is about to leave heaven to come to earth. and it's a scene of great worship and reverence because the angels appear, rank upon rank of angels appear to see Jesus off. and to worship him as he leaves heaven and comes down to us. So get that kind of picture in your mind. And also notice that they're shielding their eyes from Jesus, from the glory of Jesus that they're beholding. But also knowing, and there's reference that Jesus is going to come to earth, God in human form, to dwell among us and to save us. And so with those kind of thoughts in mind, we'll hear this song.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessings in his hand, Christ our God to earth descends.
Would you pray with me for a moment? God, we want to honor the name of Jesus. We want to join those angels to proclaim praise that Jesus Christ, even though God, he considered equality with God not something to hold on to and grasp, but Jesus, you emptied yourself. You humbled yourself. You took on the form of a man. You came to dwell among us, to be obedient even unto death, death on a cross. And therefore, you're highly exalted at the right hand of God. Help us to understand today what it means to come face to face with our wonderful Savior Jesus. Amen. So in this passage, or not the passage, but in this song, we see these two faces of Jesus. One, the glorious Jesus in heaven, in which the angels can't help but to shield their face from his glory. But then also the Jesus who left that glory to come down to us, to be the most approachable of human beings. You know, what's more approachable than a little baby? You know, the face of a baby that we just want to hover over and coo at. And this baby will grow up to say, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest in me," the two faces of Jesus. The reality about the face of God is that in God's holiness, it's a fearful thing to encounter the holy God face to face, as Moses found out, as many found out in Scripture. And just something to think about here. A number of years ago, we had a dog, Toby. And for the most part, my face to Toby was very approachable. I'd come home, he'd love to see me and jump on me and so forth. But there were some times when I'd come home and Toby couldn't look me in the eye. And he would just kind of slink around. And I would know he did something, you know. And so I'd walk around the house just to see what kind of mess he made. And sure enough, I'd find something. But these two different faces, and if we could kind of just expand it out to think about how we think of the face of God. Isaiah, when he had that vision of being with God in the very throne room of God, he says, "Woe to me, I am ruined, or I am undone, or I am brought to this place of silence. You know, I don't know what to do because I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the God of glory, the God Almighty." There's the story of Peter when he's in the boat with Jesus and Jesus has that miraculous catch of fish. And Peter realizes his eyes are open to who this is with him. And he just falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Coming, realizing you're in the presence of a holy God. In Revelation, I think it's Revelation 6, there's this description of the judgments of God coming upon the earth. And it says, "The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks. And they asked for the rocks to fall on them so that they would hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne." They wanted to hide from the face of God. And then one final example here. We read in the Old Testament of how the high priest would go one day a year only, would go into the most holy place, the place where the Shekinah glory of God was. And there the high priest would make atonement for the people. But it was understood that if that high priest didn't properly atone for his own sins before he entered, he could very well die there in the presence of God. And so tradition has it that other priests would tie a cord around that high priest as he went in case the Lord would strike him down, they could pull him out again because they couldn't enter into the most holy place. It's a fearsome thing to go before the holy face of God. But that same high priest, after he would leave that holy place, he would come out before the people and he would declare that blessing over them. "May God bless you and keep you or protect you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face or lift up his face towards you and you and you and grant you his peace." And this wasn't just a wish or a prayer. This was a declaration that God is declaring that his face is shining. He's looking towards them. He's declaring his peace and his grace upon their lives. He's granting them shalom. And so we see here a God who desires to shine his face upon us. And most clearly and most fully, he does that through Jesus. And Shelby read that passage from Hebrews 10 for us, where Jesus, where the writer of Hebrews puts the words of a psalm into Jesus' mouth, where he says, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you've given me a body to offer." And when we talk about Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, his very body present with us, it's another way to say his face is looking upon us. We are encountering the face of God in Jesus. "But you've given me a body to offer. a new covenant to replace that old covenant where the priest would enter the most holy place. And the conclusion of the writer of Hebrews says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all times. And the writer goes on to this conclusion. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can enter heaven's most holy place boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Again, we can go before the throne of God. We can go before the face of God, this fearsome, holy face, confidently or boldly. By Jesus' death, he opened a new and living way for us through the curtain into this most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You don't hear any fear in that, going before the Lord. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And so Jesus could finish his work and declare that same blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you through what I have done. What Jesus did as he entered the scene is the way it seems that he said that to us, the way he came in human form and face to face told this to people is this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and God has anointed me to come face to face with people and to preach good news to the poor, to declare to those who are captives, you are free, to call recovery of sight to those who are blind, to say to those who have oppressive loads placed upon their lives, I'm going to free you of those burdens. I'm going to declare the Lord's favor upon his people. So one example of how God's face shone upon the life of a person in Scripture was the story of Mary in the Christmas story. The angel of the Lord appears to Mary and says, don't be afraid, Mary, because you've found favor with God. The face of God that shines favor upon us. You have found favor with God. And after some questions by Mary, the angel answers and says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One that will be born will be called the Son of God. And so here, as the favor of God is shining upon Mary, as God's face is looking upon Mary through this angel, not only is the message to her, God really likes you, Mary. You are valuable. You are a treasure in God's sight. And God does speak that over each one of us. But also the message here is that my favor, my face that's shining upon you and is gracious to you, that's going to have an impact on your life. Think about that for your own life too. But the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And that doesn't just mean it seems that this baby will be conceived and will be the Holy Son of God, but that the Holy Spirit is going to have an even broader impact on her life as well. Mary, you're going to have a part in my redemption story. Your life is going to be part of my redemption story. But also, through you, you're going to have a role to play in how I restore all of creation. And so, the Holy Spirit in Mary just seems to burst forth in this song or this testimony, this prophetic testimony that goes way beyond what a teenager would seem to say, even as precocious as she may be. Clearly, the Holy Spirit is speaking through her. So listen to these words of the Holy Spirit upon Mary.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
So you hear in these words God's favor, not only on Mary's life, but all people. Here it says to Abraham and his descendants forever, but knowing that Abraham's descendants go beyond just his biological lineage, but all people who come to faith. So just thinking about what this means for our own lives or for our church, that we can approach God, the very face of God. It's still a holy face. And it still, in some ways, leads us to say, I'm undone. You know, I'm convicted of my sin or my frailties, my weaknesses before God. We recognize our need to find the righteousness of God and to be forgiven. But knowing that it's a face that looks upon us with favor, as these scriptures point out, and that we can come with boldness before the throne of God. We can come with boldness to Jesus and find reconciliation with God and find shalom for our lives and to call upon God's shalom and to set things right in this world. And to find purpose, like Mary found purpose as she lived within the shining face of God in her life. And the way that maybe we could say it in terms of the scripture today is our purpose becomes to be that face of God for other people to see, that we shine the face of God into other people's lives. I found this reading by Carmen Schrock Hurst. She's a professor down at EMU or EMS, Eastern Mennonite. And this is from a previous Advent. But she says this, reflecting on the holiday season. Real holidays are not as warm and fuzzy as commercials or as Hallmark movies. Real holidays are mothers struggling to pay for heat as well as Christmas presents for their children. Real holidays are adult children trying to recreate family rituals for the first Christmas without their beloved parents who died recently. Real holidays are families with enough discord that not everyone can be together in the same house at the same time. Real holidays are immigrants who work long hours and struggle to learn English, even while missing their family and traditions in their home country. Real holidays are grieving hospice families who gather together for their last bittersweet Christmas with their loved ones, knowing that at this time next year there will be an empty spot at the table. Real holidays are families separated by war, living with fear and anxiety. And then her challenge is to open ourselves up to be Emmanuel, God with us, for those people. To, like Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down face to face with us and to offer his salvation. It's where we leave the comforts of our holiday activities to find people in their brokenness and their grief and their pain and to shine the face of Jesus into their lives. That becomes our purpose, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So in conclusion, how are we going to respond to this? Yeah. Will we have boldness and confidence to approach the face of God and what he's offering to us? In Isaiah 66, God says, "Has not my hand made all these things?" And so they came into being. "These are the ones who I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at my word, who turn towards me." And Mary, who said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. You know, here I am, Lord, I come into your presence." And so, as I close this morning, I'd like us to read something together. If you could turn to number 714 in the blue hymnal. This is just a good description of, as Jesus came to us, this is who he was. This is how he presented the face of God to us. And this is the Jesus that we're responding to. Yes, I will step into the light of your face, which is shining upon me. 7:14. So I'll read the light print if you could respond to me in the dark print. He was the Son of God.
He was the Son of Man.
He came down from heaven.
He was born in a stable.
Kings came to his cradle. He was born to be a king.
He was the child of Mary.
He was the greatest among rulers.
He was the least among servants.
He was loved and honored.
He was despised and rejected.
He was gentle and loving.
He made many enemies.
He counseled perfection.
He was a friend of the sinners.
He was a joyful companion.
He was a man of sorrows.
He said, rejoice.
He said, repent.
Love God with all your heart.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Don't be anxious.
Count on the cost.
Deny yourself.
In
him was life.
He died on the cross.
He was a historic person.
He lives today.
He was Jesus of Nazareth.
He is Christ the Lord.
May we follow him always and walk in the light of his countenance. Amen.